Come on, man. You been tested for cocaine? Are you a junkie? Just me interviewing my vice presidential picks, much the way Joe Biden probably does. Are you a junkie? Yeah. Dr. Lauren Wright joining me, associate research scholar at lecture, teaches presidency and executive power at Princeton. Lauren, welcome back.
Hi, Steve.
Are you a junkie?
Oh, my gosh. I don't think those gaffes are going to determine the outcome of the election, but they're not good. And if the opponent anyone but Donald Trump, I think they would be more disqualifying.
Could you imagine a more stereotypical question to an African-American reporter? Did you get tested for cocaine? Are you a junkie? Is there anything more racist that you've ever heard in your life? Well, actually,
no,
maybe.
No, it's not. I mean, it's terrible. I don't think anyone can defend it. I mean, but...
I was going to say, is there anything more racist? Then I heard what he said later to the Hispanic reporter. Wink, wink, nod, nod. You know, unlike the African-American community, we know that the Hispanic community is very diverse and has different attitudes on different things. Really, Joe? So all Black Americans, they just think alike and act alike and vote alike. I mean, that's nice, Joe. Well done.
Really, really offensive. But, you know, why do you think Trump polls so low with Black American voters? Why were the outcomes what they were in 2016? I'd like to hear what your theory on that is.
Well, my theory on Trump in 2016 is with Hispanic voters, he outperformed all expectations.
Well, everybody, what about African American voters? 9%.
About right. He performed about where they expected, about where Mitt Romney did. He'll do better this time, and he will outperform again in Hispanic voters, which is the largest minority voting bloc in America, as you well know. He will continue to do well there, and he'll do better because he believes in the rule of law. And Hispanic voters, not to be Joe Biden and to generalize too much, but as an overall theme, tend to be more traditional in their voting because of traditional family values that the Hispanic community has in many regards. So I expect the president to do quite well with Hispanic voters, again, in important places like Florida and Texas. You'll see this play out. By the way, as we look at the most important next step for Joe Biden, other than to not take any other interview between now and November 3rd to avoid any massive mistakes, he has to pick a running mate, right? That's the next big thing, is picking a running mate. And how does he explain? Because basically it's down to several Black women, right? That's what his choice is coming down to. How does he explain to them these comments? How does he explain to them the comments he made to Kamala Harris on the debate stage? How does he explain to them his association with segregationists and so forth? Lauren, help me out.
Well, it seems like he has a long list of people that want the job. And so you have to think about his record as a whole and not these individual comments, which are highly offensive. And as I've talked to you about before, I think one of the worst things that, you know, Democrats can assume is that there's no such thing as a Black Republican, or that you know, they're automatically going to get the support of the African-American community. But on the other side, I see Republicans making comments about African-American voters are just brainwashed, and it has nothing to do with the policy preferences, and it has nothing to do with the fact that there's one Black Republican member of Congress. I mean, of course, they've done a bad job making the case for African-American voters to join the GOP, and that's what people like Alan West are working so hard on, and Tim Scott are working so hard on this, and it's an uphill battle.
Well, maybe it's an uphill battle, but I think as you see the Blexit movement and other things take flight, and you see the support from the Hispanic community growing for Donald Trump, and outperforming in 2016, as we discussed, it's a big move forward. So, who does he pick for his running mate?
I know we've discussed Susan Rice before. It seems to be down to Kamala Harris and Susan Rice. You know, I saw those comments by Chris Dodd, who said he didn't think Kamala Harris was remorseful enough for attacking Biden. I think that's a tough sell to go after someone in public in such a personal way and then expect it not to have an impact. But I think if Biden is looking at public opinion, or he's trying to make this decision based on who will be more exciting, he might end up picking Kamala Harris.
Yeah, she's a good debater, you know, on the stage and so forth, and she She polls well. Susan Rice would bring some national security deep state credentials with her, that's for sure. What about picking Barack Obama? Why not just pick Barack Obama as his running mate and shake things up completely?
Well, he's promised to pick a woman, so he can't do that. He could pick Michelle Obama, but not Barack Obama, according to his promise.
You don't think the Democrats would forgive him for picking Barack Obama if that's what he did?
Probably. I mean, yeah, maybe someone that popular.
And by the way, it is legal. Well, there'd probably be a couple of challenges, but he's not constitutionally ineligible to be president. He just can't be elected president, right?
So, I don't think that will happen, but it is an interesting possibility
It's 2020. Anything can happen. We've already figured that out. It's been the strangest year ever. Who knows what might happen, you know? Joe Biden might pick himself and not realize it. It's a possibility, Lauren. I don't know. So seriously, I'm watching trending again this morning on these comments that we were talking about a moment ago, and I'm just watching this in real time. These comments really are a problem for Joe Biden. Again, I'm looking forward to hearing what Charlemagne de God has to say about it and others that have loud voices, that have influential voices in the African-American community. I mean, how does Joe Biden recover from these constant mistakes involving race?
It's really difficult. But again, I think if he was running against anyone else, if he was running against someone who did not start his campaign by saying Obama wasn't born in this country, for example, people would be less forgiving. But they look at the alternative, and they most likely will stick with Biden. Although, again, I think the worst mistake the Biden campaign can make at this point is these assumptions and this overconfidence that they will get the support that they think they're showing in the polls.
Because if we've learned anything,
it's that a lot of things can change.
Let me ask you something else about what I was talking about. We only got about a minute here, but I'm get you to weigh in on this. Letitia James, the Attorney General for the state of New York, going after the National Rifle Association with the intent to dissolve the organization in an election year. We've seen almost 20 million new guns sold in America this year, 40% to new gun buyers, first-time gun buyers, 8 million people. Going after the NRA in election year and the Democrats being painted as anti-gun, which of course they are, but being so upfront about it, I think that also hurts Democrats in a variety of places around the country. You got about 30 seconds. What do you think?
I don't understand what the big political strategy everyone is saying Democrats have is behind this, because the people who care most about the NRA are the NRA, not people who don't own guns and don't feel that their rights are being threatened. But I would just say, I think it's too early to say.
Again, 8 million new gun owners.
There's embezzlement, misuse of funds, tax evasion.
That's my point.
These are serious things, so we have to see.
Yeah, 8 million brand new gun owners in America this year alone. That's my point. 8 million.
Right.
Most of which, by the way, the majority of that 8 million are women over the age of 18 and 21 who vote.
And I understand that. I just don't see what the political impact of this would be. I don't see it changing anything in the voting landscape.
You're going to be surprised by that, Lauren.
All right, I'm going to save this interview.
I'm going to save this. Appreciate you weighing in. Dr. Lauren Wright, I do. Lecturer at Princeton. I got to run. You're in the No Panic Zone on the Steve Gruber Show. We'll be right back.
Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms. Work with Ameriprise Financial Advisor Craig Stiles with Stiles, Miller & Clark Group, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, and together you'll develop a customized plan for your retirement. Discover the one-to-one relationship you deserve. Call Craig Stiles today at 517-483-4893. Office is located at 2400 Lake Lansing Road, Suite B, Lansing, Michigan. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
At the Michigan Chamber, we want you to know that we are working for you.
We know the importance of staying healthy, keeping your family safe, and adhering to the governor's executive order.
But we also know the importance of keeping the economy going.
If your business is open, we want to support you any way we can.
We're going to continue working with the governor and working with the legislature to find solutions to your problems.
When it's time to get back to work.
When it's time to get back to work.
Together, we're going to bring this economy back.
Helping those who need it most while building a better future. That's what Michiganders do. And it's what DTE is doing today. giving 2 million masks to frontline workers and 600,000 to small businesses, providing tablets and internet access so 51,000 school children can learn at home, and helping over 500,000 families across the state with food and shelter. Because for Michigan, we're always all in. DTE. DTE is taking big steps today that will power Michigan's economy for years to come. As one of the largest investors in the state, we'll spend $2 billion with Michigan companies this year alone, building critical infrastructure to provide cleaner, safer, and more reliable energy, while creating thousands of new jobs across the state, improving the lives of Michiganders today, while continuing to build a stronger tomorrow. DTE.